Well, this morning we're visiting with Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thank you for giving me the opportunity.
I know you've been doing some traveling around the state, visiting with different folks on a lot of different issues, but agriculture, and particularly women in agriculture, has been an important theme for you. You had a chance recently to visit with some folks here in Atlantic. Who's learning more, you or them?
Well, I definitely am learning more, and that's one of the reasons I'm doing the tour. This is National Women History Month, and because of that, I'm taking including that in on my 99-county tour across the state of Iowa. I want it to be a diversified stop, and so we want to not only talk to women in ag, but small business owners and just women that are leaders in our community. So great group of women, great leaders in this community. When I looked at the background of what they, some of the things that they're involved in, it was phenomenal. I mean, very involved in their communities, served as president of Farm Bureau. One of them had been on the school board for years, an educator. So helped another individual helped on the service end of agriculture through agribusiness. So we want to do everything we can to help keep our rural communities vibrant and growing, and agriculture is a big component of that. And so I'm looking for things that are working, things that aren't working, and then I want to figure out a way to be supportive.
Do you notice differences at all in what you're hearing in different parts of the state? Does it really matter much where you go?
No, it's been pretty consistent, too. This is only my second Women in Ag roundtable. A lot of the same things. I heard it both. The Young Farmers Program and how important that was to keep our young people and bring them back to the farm. Looking at ways that we can transition to family members and how we can make that happen. Or if we don't have a family member that wants to come back to the farm, how we deal with that. We talked a lot about conservation, dropping commodity prices, and the impact that that has going forward. So Annie's project, just different programs that they've had the opportunity to participate in. One of the areas that I thought was pretty interesting, I think we've had some of the women that had been in farming for quite some time, and they were in more of a supportive role, and she said, if you look at the women today that are involved in the farm operation, it definitely is a partnership, that they're involved in all aspects. And I think the Annie's project is a great opportunity for them to learn more about the whole farming operation.
Are there big differences these days in the issues facing women in agriculture as opposed to anybody else in agriculture?
No, I just think they're taking a more active role. And I think probably they always have. But so I kind of, the way I started is just thanking them for doing it. And I wanted to highlight women leaders in our community and in our businesses and in our families. And I think sometimes as women, we get so busy doing so many things, we forget to kind of lift up our head and talk, maybe tell our story. And so this is an opportunity for me to ask them to tell their story, tell about what they've done and what they're doing in the community. And then I want to highlight that because I want other young women to know what these great leaders are doing and that they can come back home and they can have a great life and great opportunities and really give back to their community.
Iowa's always been a state that values education very much. Is that a key part of agriculture going forward, is just the education component?
It absolutely is, and we talked about that, especially not only for the world, for them to understand what we do here, GMO, labeling, conservation practices. You know, these are individuals that they make their living from the land, and they want to pass that on to generations and generations to come. And so, of course, taking care of the soil is important to them and the soil health, and they do everything that they can to do that. And there's just such a misconception out there that they're pouring all the chemicals and all the nitrogen into the land and really destroying it. And it's anything but that. First of all, it's so expensive. They're not going to do that. But just to continue to tell our story, continue to tell how important it is for not only Iowa but for the Midwest to be successful, because if we're going to be feeding 9 billion people by 2050, we better be figuring out a way to do that. So we have an important role to play in the world and in this country.
Borders that are out there have widened quite a bit,
yes,
and we're breaking
have.
A lot of them down anymore anyway.
Yes, we have. Yeah. So it's important that we tell our story. It's important that we base regulations on science, and so that we get it right and that everybody has a fair playing field to continue to do what they're doing.
Well, in addition today, I want to visit a little bit with Kate Olson, who is with the local extension office, but also is a person who's involved in agriculture, and Deb Schuler, who is president of the group Iowa Women in Agriculture. Thanks to you folks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Jim.
Appreciate it. Now, I know you sat in on the session. In fact, Deb, you coordinated this with the lieutenant governor. What were your thoughts after the things that you guys had a chance to discuss?
Oh, it was amazing, all of the topics that we were able to cover in such a short time.
Yeah, the ladies really had some diverse perspectives around the table. It was good to hear. Some of us certainly have had common experiences in agriculture, and some of us just from the different our experiences, have had some different ideas to share. It was good to hear all of those folks.
Well, it's kind of interesting because in talking with the Lieutenant Governor, too, it's the issues were kind of based on women in agriculture, but are there really that many differences with regard to the issues that men or women, either one of them, face in agriculture? Aren't they all facing kind of the same issues these days in large measure?
Well, I think one of the conversations we had that really kind of speaks to that was we had several different generations of women around the table. So we were talking about sometimes the changing role of women in agriculture. A lot of the women who were in the younger generation coming up, marrying into farms or coming back to the farm, are having more of an active partnership role in the farms. And some of the ladies who were around the table from the older generation perspective shared about being more in a support role. We also talked a little bit about transition planning and how sometimes the older generation gets management of the farm, whether they want it or not, through loss of a spouse or other life circumstances, and some of the challenges that they face, maybe not having been that primary partner from the beginning.
Yeah, so you're still working with the generational changes in attitudes toward, well, for example, the type of situations you have, whether it's a partnership or a support role. So those things are still changing, too. Yeah, because a lot of it's perception more than anything else these days, isn't it? Isn't it kind of what we perceive the role to be as opposed to what it actually is?
Absolutely.
And, you know, I guess that's the way different people will see it in different places, too. Did she share, did Kim share a lot of the information that she's gotten with, I know she's had one other meeting like this, a roundtable discussion. Was she doing a lot of sharing about some of the things that she's hearing, or was she more of a sounding board at this point, listening to what some of the concerns were coming from your group?
She was more of a sounding board, listening to our concerns. She went around the table and asked each of us for our input and to share some concerns and vision that we have in agriculture.
Sure. Why is it important to have these discussions?
I think anytime you have elected officials wanting to come out and have discussions with people who are living on the other end, having to feel the impact of those rules and regulations that are made, I think those discussions should always happen, and anyone who has the ability to come participate in them certainly should. You know, it's always good to get your voice heard and have people understand the issues out there, because if you don't talk about them, who's going to?
Well, especially when that set of ears comes from a very high office.
That's right.
It's nice to know that you have that kind of input. What do you see happening? What do you see the results being from some of these types of visits? Do you see perhaps legislation at some point helping the continuing changing role of women in agriculture being a part of this, or is this more just kind of looking at future policy thoughts and ideas?
Well,
is that a fair question?
That's a fair question. Hopefully it's a little bit of both, Jim. She was real receptive to some of our comments about restrictions that we have to work under in agriculture and the limiting factor that can have on our operations, and she's certainly welcomed any comments and feedback that we would have to help make us more profitable and more engaged and to help open up our markets a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was very receptive to comments, and she did, I would say that's probably the only time we really touched on things that she'd been hearing at her other listening sessions, was just to say, you know, yeah, I heard that at the other one too. It must be a fairly widespread issue, because I think one of the issues we touched on, for example, was cover crops and how there are certain challenges. We know long term it's beneficial for the state, for the soil, for farmers, for our water quality. All those are huge issues right now, but we know we still have some challenges to overcome on helping producers have the skills, the knowledge, and the resources sometimes to implement those changes. And she was well aware. We talked about, you know, sometimes when money comes up for projects like that, it's gone instantly, you know, and people want to have more of that cost share. They want to know more information. They want to have more of those cost share resources, and how we can leverage those resources to maximize their use across the state.
Mm-hmm. Of course, when it comes to women involved in agriculture, a lot of the changing roles have to do with changing attitudes. And, you know, look around at, well, what you do, for example, Kate, in Extension. I think folks would be shocked to who are old school to maybe look and see how many of the extension specialists, how many of the extension county coordinators around the state are females. And, you know, 40, 50 years ago, you wouldn't have seen that.
Oh, yeah. Certainly the demographic used to be, you know, the female extension specialists were your home economists and the male extension specialists were your ag specialists. And I would say we've had that change on both sides of the fence. We've hired several, you know, family finance, family life specialists that are male, and we certainly have a probably almost 50-50 split in our ag specialists, male and female. But also just acknowledging that there are women come at managing land with a different perspective. Mm-hmm. That's something that we've known for years now and doing outreach programs to help them understand, you know, if you did inherit land that you're managing, the percentage of women landowners across the state is very high. And I don't know that a lot of people realize that. And those women, when educated, will manage that land and manage their tenants very differently with soil and water conservation in mind.
Bet. And, of course, Deb, what you do for a living with Smith Land Service, mm-hmm. you're seeing it firsthand as far as female landowners.
Yes, we have a number of female clients, Jim. That's growing each year. And as Kate reiterated, some of the concerns are the soil quality and preserving the land for future generations. It's very important. And anything that we can do to help with water quality and soil and those sorts of things, working in partnerships with NRCS and FSA and Extension and other entities to preserve what we have so that it can be handed down from generation to generation. I think we all want the same thing when it comes to that. It's just figuring out how best to work with each other to make that come to fruition.
Excellent. Well, anytime we can have these positive conversations, get some productive work done, sounds like a good deal to everybody. Thanks for coming in. Appreciate you guys spending some time.
Thank you, Jim.
Thanks for having us.